So yeah, welcome guys. If we haven't had the chance to meet, my name's Rule. I'm currently a senior here studying international business and business analytics, which Simon didn't know. And it's true, I am from Hershey, Pennsylvania. I'm from Chocolate Town. And half of that story is true. I have been a part of the national anthem for the Bears game. So super excited to be here with you guys. It's really awesome to be outside, be out here in God's creation. And yeah, I can definitely think about back to my freshman year being a part of a crew, being a much smaller group than this, and kind of seeing this hill filled with people right now is something that we dreamed about, we prayed about, but it's really cool to see it kind of all come together and come to completion. Just to give you guys a heads up, obviously we don't have any screens, we don't have anything that's going to have the verses up, so if you have a Bible, one, I would definitely take that out, and then two, I would definitely suggest taking some notes tonight. I'll try and repeat some common phrases a lot, but obviously there's going to be nothing on the screen, which I'm not too mad about, because it means I don't have to use the clicker that never works, so we don't have to have that awkward interaction the whole entire talk. But yeah, we'll hop right into it. We're going to be in the book of Colossians tonight, so if you have a Bible, I would flip there. And then I'm just going to tell a quick little story about how this passage specifically has worked in my life and just how it's changed my perspective on who Christ is and what that means for me. So this past summer, I had the chance to serve with Crew in the country of Estonia. We got to go on mission there, and it was a really awesome experience to share the gospel. And I'm really excited for some of you guys that are going to be going this summer, what that's going to be like for you. But it was such an awesome experience to see the Lord working in the country of Estonia through us, to be able to share the gospel every single day, and to have some really challenging conversations with people who had never heard the good news of Jesus Christ before. And as a team, we were going through the book of Colossians, which I had read before, but this is the first time I was really doing like a deep dive into it. And every single week, we were doing one chapter at a time. So the first week was going to be chapter one. And for a little bit of context, I accepted Christ sometime in middle school and then ended up not taking it super seriously until the end of high school, coming into college. But at this point in my walk going into Estonia, I knew who Jesus was. I knew what he did on the cross for me. And I knew that that had an impact on my life enough that I wanted to go share that with people. But I was definitely at a point in my walk where I had plateaued a little bit, where I felt like I was learning a lot of things about Christ, but it was slowing down a little bit, and I wasn't really pressing in to learn more about the Lord. And I think on this trip, I was able to humble myself, allow the Spirit to work in a way that I'd never seen before, to really press in to understand more about what Christ wanted to teach me through his word. And that's where I came across the passage we're going to talk about tonight in the book of Colossians. That's when I came across this, and I learned there was so much more about Christ, that there's infinitely more about him we're ever going to be able to learn or understand, and that we can continually learn more about God and the life that he has for us and before us. But this changed my perspective, it elevated my view of Christ, and it just changed the way that I walked every single day. So I'm going to take some time to pray, and then we're going to hop right into our actual passage. Dear Lord, just thank you so much for allowing us to be here. Thank you for giving us life today. Thank you for this beautiful night, and thank you for everyone who's here. I just pray that as we enter your word, that you would work through it. I would pray that all of our hearts will be open, Lord, for you to work. Just tonight, I pray that everything that we do is glorifying to you, and that through everything, we can glorify your name, Lord. I just pray and thank you for your son, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for the cross. Thank you for the resurrection that we celebrated this past Sunday that changed all of our lives, Lord. I pray that tonight, as we enter your word, we would have just hearts that are ready to be changed, Lord. In your name I pray, amen. All right, so we're going to be in the book of Colossians. It's going to be chapter 1 and verses 15 through 20. So if you don't have a Bible right now, if you want to go down to the resource table and grab one, go for it. That's not going to be like awkward or anything. Just go grab a Bible if you need one. Look it up on your phone. Just do whatever you need to read this passage with us. All right, so we're going to start verse 15. It says, "He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is also the head of the body, the church, and he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have the first place in everything. For it was the Father's good will to have all the fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross." Just such an awesome passage. And like I had said in Estonia, I read this passage the first time, and I thought it was really awesome, but I didn't think I had to press too much into it. And boy, was I so wrong this summer. I learned so much about the Lord just through this couple verses here, and I hope tonight that if we have open hearts, the Lord's going to be faithful to teach us. So a lot of times with these talks, you kind of do a couple sub points and ramp your way up to a final main point. But I think what I want to do with you guys tonight is give you the main point right off the bat, just allow you to know what I want us to take away from this. And this main point is this: Jesus Christ is the center of all, and he is worthy of it all. I'll say that again for you guys. Jesus Christ is the center of it all, and he is worthy of it all. He's worthy of all the praise, all the honor, all of the glory, everything that we have. And if that's the one thing that you remember from tonight in this passage, then that's great. So we're going to keep continuing on. We're going to try and see what else the Lord wants to teach us. So if you're taking notes, we're going to have 3 points, and this is the first one. The first point is this: all things were created through and for Christ. Looking back at verse 15, we see, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, for by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. So I want to go through two different words here before we really tackle the creation part. So looking just at image and firstborn. First, we're going to talk about the image that we see here. If you're like me, when you hear the image here, you immediately might jump back to the book of Genesis. You might think about the creation account, that we as people were created in the image of God, that we are created in God's likeness. But here in this passage, the wording's different. It doesn't say that Jesus was created in this image. It says Jesus is the image of God. We said that we're created in God's image, but then we hear here that Jesus is the image of God. And this is such a key difference. And I love what Hebrews has to say about this. Hebrews 1:2 starts where 1:3 starts by saying this: and he is the radiance of his glory, the exact representation of his nature. It says the exact representation of his nature, that we are created in the image of God, but that Jesus is the image of God because he is God. And this just points to his deity, which is just such an awesome truth that we get to hear about. And next I want to go into the part that talks about the firstborn. If you know anything about maybe church history, some other things going on, you can see so many times where this might have been misinterpreted, hearing this firstborn. But when we see here in this passage the word firstborn, it's not referring to birth order. It's not referring to the first that was created. It doesn't say Jesus was the first. It doesn't say that he was the first of all creation. It says he was the firstborn of all creation. This points to his authority. This points to his pre-existence. And it points how he is over all of creation. See, when we see this truth and understand this, it helps us understand more about Jesus and the love that he has for us and how he could do everything that we're going to talk about later. But we say that he's the image of God, that he is God, and that he's the firstborn over all creation, that he pre-existed, he was before everything, and he existed before our creation. Now going on, we're going to go into verse 16, which says, for by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. So this can get a little bit complicated, but one way to understand this will be to say that everything in creation was made according to God the Father, by and through the Son, and empowered by the Spirit. This is where the full Trinity is active in creation. And that could be a whole other talk, and that could take hours upon hours, so we're not going to dive too much into that. If you want to hear more about that, definitely talk to Chad after this. But but what we see here is that Jesus was not only pre-existed and before creation, but creation was made through him, for him, and by him. And why this is important, why the main point I want to get at with this one here, is that the same Jesus who went to the cross for your sins is the same Jesus who created you. And you're actually made to know him personally and bring him glory. And this should challenge the way that we view Jesus. That if this is true, it should challenge the way that we're thinking about him and who he is for us. I'll say that again for you guys. The same Jesus who went to the cross for your sins and my sins is the same Jesus who created you and wants to know you personally so you can bring him glory. That's the first point. We're going to go on to point two now, and that is this, which just hinges off of the first one. Christ is supreme over all. Jumping back in the passage, we see verse 17 says, he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He's also the head of the body, the church, and he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have the first place in everything. I've heard it put like this before, that the universe owes its continuing coherence to Christ. Everything that's happening right now is being sustained by Christ. Whether that's the way that the earth is tilted in a way that the sun isn't killing us right now, that it's not too hot, it's not too cold, but it's perfect for life right now, or the way that the earth spins, or anything going on right now around us, is all being sustained in the name of Jesus Christ. That this all things aspect is truly all things. We like to use the word all so much as people. We like to say we gave all of our effort, we put everything we had into it, but that's just usually not true. But when it comes to this passage and when it comes to Jesus and it comes to him sustaining all things, that all things really is all things and encompasses everything. And in this light, we can go back to Hebrews 1:3. At the beginning it says, "And he is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature." But then it goes on to say, "And upholds all things by the word of his power." That there is power in his word that sustains everything here. But somehow, in our nature and in our sinful nature, we still convince ourselves that we need to try to control things ourselves. That even though the God who created us and sustains and controls everything around us, we still don't want to trust him with all the things in our lives. We still don't want to trust him with everything going on around us. And we still try and take captive of our own lives and our own wills. If you're taking notes, I'd write this down. If Jesus can sustain all of creation, he can sustain and satisfy your life. If Jesus can sustain all of creation, he can sustain and satisfy your life and all of your deepest desires. Everything that is within you, he can sustain that. And that's the question I have for you guys, is what would it look like to acknowledge and view Christ as supreme over all, and how would this change the way you live your life? What would it look like to acknowledge and view Christ as supreme over all, and how would this change the way that you view your life? Now we're going to jump in to the last and final point. And this one, yeah, this is going to be so much fun to go through with you guys. It is just so simple. Jesus has offered us life. That's the third point. Jesus has offered us life. Jumping back in the passage, starting in verse 19. "For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross." This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the good news. This, for those of us who call ourselves believers of Christ, this is what we hinge our whole entire faith upon, is that we've been reconciled and that there's been peace made with the Father. So that's the first point I want to get into, is that you see in this passage, starting at verse 20, "and through him to reconcile all things to himself." Something had to be reconciled. There was something that was creating a gap between us and God. There was something that wasn't allowing us to know him, and that was sin. We see in Romans 6:23, it says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gracious gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." We all have sinned. We've all gone against God. And because of this, the wage that we have earned is actually death, which is spiritual separation from God. When you look at it logically, if there's a holy God who is above us, who created all things, who sustains all things by his word, but we're sinful and we're not perfect and we're not holy, how could we possibly be in his presence like that? If he is holy, how can we be unholy and be in his presence? And this is why Jesus had to do what he did. He had to go to the cross and make peace. He reconciled us to the Father. And that's something that's really cool to see how, as we've been going through tonight, going through those first 2 points and looking at Colossians, we're seeing some of the qualifications of Jesus Christ to be the perfect sacrifice. That he pre-existed, he was there at creation. He always knew what the plan was going to be. He always knew that we would choose our own way and go against him, but still chose to create us in love, to give us a chance to choose him. And he still knew that we couldn't do anything in our own accord to come to him and be clean. So he had to come and live a perfect life. He had to die on the cross a brutal death that we saw and celebrated on Good Friday. And then on Resurrection Sunday, he defeated death, he came out of the grave, and he gave us new life if we choose to accept him. If you see in Ephesians 2:8-9, it says, "For by grace you've been saved through faith. And this is not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast." Like I said, there's nothing we could have possibly done. We actually did everything wrong to give us a chance to go and be in God's presence. We did everything against him, but in his grace, it says here, we've been saved through the faith that we can have in Christ. And this is not from ourselves, it's a gift to God, not a result of works that no one may boast. You see, as we've been going through this passage in Colossians, We're seeing that there is a God who created us and loves us and wants to know us. And we've gone our own way, but he's given us a way back through the cross. And I just think there's definitely two different ways we could be looking at this right now. And that's what I'm going to do here is we're going to address kind of the two different groups of people here. And this isn't to alienate anyone, but I think I have a different response for two different groups here. And I have just a different call here from different questions for you guys. So the first question is going to be those of you here who call yourselves believers in Christ. You would say that you've come to know and trust God, and you've allowed him to change your life in a way that is radically different than the way you were living before. I just have two questions for you guys. The first question is this. Where are you limiting the power and majesty of Christ? Where are you limiting the power and majesty of Christ? Like I said before, back when I was in Estonia, when I was reading this passage, I just didn't think I was actually lifting up Christ to the level that he should be. I wasn't looking at him as the creator of the universe, the one who's sustaining all things, and the one who had reconciled me. I wasn't lifting him up to that level on every single day. And I think it's so common that we don't give him all the praise and glory and honor that he deserves. And then back to that very beginning point we talked about at the start. What are you putting in the center of your life instead of Jesus? What are you guys putting at the center of your life instead of Jesus? Is it your academics? Is it some relationship in your life? Is it your own self-image? Is it your pride? What are you allowing to take the place of Jesus on your throne? We all know that throughout our day, day by day, there's going to be moments where we choose to go against God and we still choose to sin. But over time, we become more and more like God. And throughout time, you can see different things are going to keep happening. People are going to keep pushing their ways into your lives, and things are going to start taking the throne of your life instead of Jesus. So what are those things, and how can we work to allow the Lord to overcome that? Because he's waiting. He's willing. The arms of the Lord are standing open wide right now for all of you guys to come and know him and receive his grace. What is allowing you to stop putting Jesus at the center of your life? And now this other group is going to be those of you who have not come to know Christ. Maybe you just came here to seek to learn more about Christianity. Maybe you got invited by a friend, or maybe honestly you saw us setting up and you walked by and you're like, there's this crazy guy on a mic right now. Let's check out what he has to talk about. And you decided to stick around. If you did, I'm glad you guys tried to stick around and hear me out for a second. But if that's you and you fall in that group, I guess what I want to ask you guys is that if everything that I said is true tonight, which I believe it to be, if there was someone who came to this earth, who created you to know you and love you personally, and he pre-existed all things, and he sustains all things by the power of his word, and through his death on the cross, he died and then rose from the dead, which is something we say so often, but how often we really think about how crazy that is. There's someone who walked around this earth just like us and actually died and then rose again from the dead. If that's true, then what's stopping you from believing in that? If there is someone who did everything that I said he did tonight, that through the word and through his Bible, all of that is true, what is stopping you from allowing him to be the center of your life? What is stopping you from allowing him to just take over the throne and everything that that entails in it? I'm going to ask right now the band to come up and start getting set up. And as they do that, I just want to give us a bit of a challenge here. And this isn't just a challenge just for Crew. This isn't a challenge just for our small community, but this is for all believers on our campus and for all of us that are here that know Christ. I want us to be a people who elevate Christ to where he belongs, a people who elevate Christ to the level and the praise and the honor and glory that he deserves. And not just that, but I want us to tell others about him. We talked about Outreach Academy earlier and how awesome of an experience that's going to be and how we can be a part of that. Part of elevating Christ to his rightful place is telling others about him. If we receive this gift, if we've received this free gift that the Lord gave to us, why are we withholding that from other people? And why are we not allowing them to know that? All right, bow our heads and we're going to pray. Dear Lord, thank you so much for allowing us to be here tonight. Thank you for your word. We just pray that as we enter this time of worship, that we can just worship you in spirit and in truth, and that we can worship you for who you truly are. I pray that we all can leave tonight with elevated views of you, Christ, that we just don't think about this just here tonight, but we allow this to impact our lives forever, Lord. I just thank you so much for your son who you sent to die a brutal death for us, and that he rose again from the dead and gave us life. I just thank you so much for this truth that you allow us to be a part of your plan. You allow us to go and share the gospel to all the nations. You've let us be a part of that, even though you didn't even need to. That you saved us when we did everything against you and everything that was wrong, Lord. We're just so thankful for that and the truth that that is. I just pray that as we go and worship you, that we can worship just so freely, Lord, worship so truly of everything that you've done for us. And I pray that as we leave this place, Lord, that we would glorify you in everything that you do. In your name I pray, amen.